Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag. Bring.
Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You some bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black Power, Black Power, welcome to another hopefully fun-filled packed night. As you know, tonight is going to be a sister's wellness night. I will be interviewing. We have Sister Lady Freedom from Selma, NBPP. She's one of our affiliates, one of our sisters who I've struggled with and worked with. She's also a native from East St. Louis, so we were neighbors at one point. Also, we have another sister. Her name is Sister True from NBPP, St. Louis Finest. She's from the St. Louis NBPP chapter. And then we have a Sister Jan Robinson from Black Wellness, who will also be interviewing, and we are looking forward, and we are happy. Tonight would be the first time that I really talked with her prior to, and she has a lot of great information and things I think that will be great for us as sisters, and not just, you know, excluding sisters, I mean, not just excluding just for sisters, but also for brothers. And I think it would be great to have these sisters on here, and they're coming from different, I guess, wavelengths. And the other sister from St. Louis, the one I was telling you about, she teaches yoga in St. Louis, and she knows a lot about nonprofits and different things like that. So we definitely want to talk to them in their regards. So they should be calling in shortly. So hopefully we can get started right away. Right now, what we have is many of our sisters struggling in the struggle because, again, we have to understand what wellness is. We have to be able to fight our enemy on so many levels. How can we truly fight our enemies on different levels if we're not healthy enough, if we're not being able to maintain? And I know a lot of times, each time that we have a radio show, we always try to enforce health, good health. And it should be that, I mean, I know everybody can be vegetarians and vegans and different things like that because they don't necessarily want to for whatever reason, and that's to each its own. But I think that we should always try to be able to have a healthier diet as best as we can. And I know with all these pesticides and all these different chemicals in our foods and different things that we are getting from illnesses, and then, of course, in our community, we have a high rate of high blood pressure, and we have all these sicknesses within our community because we do not eat well. And then not only do we not eat well, with Black people, we have the highest obesity level because, again, we're not exercising. For some reason in this century, we are kind of touch and pull. We're touching the magazines. We're touching everything from the couch. We are becoming couch potatoes. We don't even get up and turn the remote, the TVs anymore if we do sit in front of them. We grab the remote controls. And we don't even concentrate on really even reading. We barely get out the house because everything we have in our home, we don't leave the house. We don't go out and try to smell the nature or anything like that. So we have to really become more in tune with the nature, and we have to get out there and start smelling stuff, because if we don't, we're going to die. And I know that I know a lot of us do not really think it's always great to eat green vegetables and that kind of thing. We have to really get into, we have to be able to fight this enemy on so many different levels, even on the spirituality aspect. A lot of us are so revolutionary, and there's nothing wrong with being revolutionary. If revolution is based upon your, if you're a person that's solely on revolution and you don't really want to get involved with the spirituality aspect of it, and that's fine. But just find something that you can do during your downtime that will help you to be able to cope with working with our people, because you don't want to have a nervous breakdown. It goes along with stress, and that's a part of wellness as well. We have to limit as much stress as possible. We have to get away from toxic things, and we become people around us can become vampires, and they start sucking the life out of us with their negative energy. Even helping people, we have to help them, but we have to come involved in a certain way. Sometimes we have to take a breather, because if we don't, we will kill ourselves. So I think we have Sister Lady Freedom. I think she is getting on the line at this time. I'm going to put her on 334-505. Caller, you're on the air. Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power, Queen.
Black Power, peace to all the queens on the line. And I want to thank you, Queen Amira, for inviting me to your show. I'm really enjoying the dialogue that I'm enjoying what you've been saying so far. I got in on the couch potato, and I was like, I wish my remote did work so I didn't have to get up and turn it down or call radio to come turn it down for me. So I can dig that. But, you know, I have noticed within myself, you know, the need to get more active, you know, and sometimes we do have a tendency to, when we do so much, to say, oh, well, I do so much anyway. You know, maybe I don't burn enough calories already, but, you know, we have to go the extra mile for ourselves, for our longevity, for the generations behind us, you know, for us to be able to show them what they need to do to be able to live long and healthy. So that's definitely going to take some getting out and enjoying the nature. And I was right when you said you will die if you do not grow your own vegetables, because they are trying to kill us off if you don't know about those things that are going on. But which I'm sure all the queens do know. But I'm calling in from Selma, Alabama, historic Selma.
Still they living historic in, down, Queen.
Historic means it is historic in the aspect of from Civil War to Civil Rights. Some of you may be familiar with Bloody Sunday, the march from Selma to Montgomery for the right to vote, civil rights. So Bloody Sunday, I go across that bridge just about every day to go to the National Voting Rights Museum and Institute, where I am on the board and working with them for the Bridge Crossing Jubilee, which takes place every first weekend of March to actually commemorate the sacrifice and the legacy of the ancestors that were foot soldiers for us that marched across that bridge and that met opposition by those state troopers cracking skulls and horses trampling bodies on that bridge. I say historic in the aspect that history does live in Selma. and it is still living in the past. Whereas the stores that were owned by people who once said you cannot come in and eat at our counter, now they pump poison to our people in the form of Medicare. They're all now pharmacies. And I'm asking my people, why are you not noticing? These are the same places you cannot go eat, and now you're going to go let them prescribe you poison. And so I don't know if it's happening like that where you are, but I just ask you to take note of those buildings downtown that may be something else now, and to wonder who owns these buildings, and you may already know. Yes, dear heart, I told you I'm on the phone call. You're supposed to be asleep. You know where the water is. It's
that's
in there.
All right. We have to take care of our children as well. So that
and go on and finish reading them the book. It's on right. That's your water.
Exactly. But yeah, it does become a problem, and you're absolutely right when you talk about the effects of Medicare and Medicaid and what it does to our people, and the same generic, what they say generic medicine does, and how we should take generic medicine. And our ancestors understand and overstand, I should say, about the whole system in that respect. But check this out. A lot of our mothers and fathers are the same folk that was using herbs and herbals, and they would have home remedies and different things like that to instill in us. They wasn't really giving us medications back then because we couldn't afford it. You know what I
mean?
So we would take holistic health care, and now it's like when they got older, they forgot all about that. You know, they go into these quacks, these so-called doctors who are, some of them are quacks and have no interest or no care, and they're just, you know, numbers. They're just billing. They're just money. They come into the, you know, healthcare system, and they're dealing with them as a number. They're not dealing with them as people anymore, you know? And when we had our own doctors in our own community, we were able to know what was good and what was not good. You know what I mean? Our doctors really worked with us effectively. They would come to our homes. They would make house visits, and the bill wasn't that much, and they will tell us natural things to do. You know, as opposed to giving us penicillins, they will give us molded bread, you know what I mean, so we could, you know, get rid of an infection. So,
and one thing, so I was sitting around talking to my grandmother.
I know it's disgusting, but, you know, so it's penicillin.
I was sitting around talking to my grandmother about, well, actually I was talking to my mother about what she should be seasoning her food with for certain things that she was complaining about. And my mom was looking at me like, are you crazy? And my grandma was looking like, duh. You know, so it's like they, certain generations of us do it just because their mothers did it for that reason, and they did it because, you know, they saw it done. But it never got made in the translation. Okay, you should be seasoning your food with this because it's going to help you not have that arthritis. It's going to bring your sugar down. You're not going to have the inflammation on your knees like you did. You know, it's going to regulate your blood pressure. But they are going to get the pork-based things, and they tell them don't eat pork. We know the whole conspiracy behind that.
Of course.
But
tell us about, like, what you're doing, because you're actually the first person on the line at this time, because I told everybody to call in at a certain time, so they should be on shortly. But you're the first person on this line, so we kind of want to know, I guess the listening audience would like to know what it is that you do, because you're coming from the different perspective. You're coming from the struggling perspective, and what these other sisters aren't struggling, because we all struggle. We're all black queens in this movement. We all have some form of movement to offer, so we want to hear your story. So
okay.
We can continue with your story, because we got into a different dialogue about medications, didn't we?
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Okay, so if you have to be of good health to fight the good fight. And, wow, I was just, I got to share with the Queen today a victory that we had about an issue that we had a rapist on our police force. He was a rapist before he got to our police force. He was denied from other police forces because he was a rapist. And either which way, he made it to ours. He raped my cousin. became aware of his record. And, of course, we're not going to sit and twiddle thumbs on that. And it wasn't just because she was my cousin, make that plain. But irregardless of that, he was able to loophole his way out of it, get some people to make some statements for him to make it look better. You know, the police are going to say things to help each other and the whole charade of that. And that was about a year or so ago when we finally got the ABI to do an investigation on him, which was interesting because it's the same man that intimidated his rape victim, saying, I don't get investigated. I do the investigating. I don't go to jail. I put people there. You can't have people watch me because I have people watch you. Things
wow.
like that.
But you got to give us the history. But give me one
I'm
second.
I'm about to bring you current day that now
okay.
he has
hold,
been
hold
put
one
into,
second. Hold,
sister.
Queen, hold one second.
Okay.
Let me just put this queen on the line. But you can
yes,
continue
queen.
With your story. 323, Black Power Queen, just hold one second. The sister going to finish breaking down her story. Black Power to you. Greetings.
Yes.
Go ahead, Queen.
Power, Black Power Queen. and Black Power from the Little Princess. I was getting to the conclusion of this victorious story about how we fought to get the rapist off the force, and because we did actually get documentation on a man that thought he was invincible, he has been arrested on another case. I had to say that some more women had to be raped before he could actually be brought to justice, but the arc of justice is long, and the arc of the universe is long, and it's built toward justice, and it did just that, and he did go to jail, even though his bond was $50,000, which men have went to jail with $60,000 bonds for stealing cars, and that, to me, taking something, a virtue from a woman, I think is a little bit more valuable than that of a man-made vehicle. Neither here nor there, it did happen, and against the voices that said, you won't get a policeman in jail, it happened, and I know that's something that we're told, you know, it's something that's far-fetched, but you can take it and tell them it happened, and we can make it happen again. It just takes persistence. I had to actually threaten the whole city council. I can seek indictments on all of y'all for gross negligence to the citizens of Selma if you don't think it's important enough to follow up on it. Oh, I bet you it got talked about every agenda. Even if you want to put alleged before the rapist, you're going to talk about it because if it's all right with y'all that he on the force, it's a problem. But fight the power, all power to the people, you know. I'm honored to be able to be on the show with the queens, and looking forward to the rest of the show. And the princess says good night because she knows she's supposed to be.
We said good night in Black Power.
They said good night in Black Power. They said good night in Black Power.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Okay. Blessings.
But okay. Yeah, that's like. So let me ask you a question. So I'm just curious for curious sake. Did the last people that were raped were they black or white? I'm just curious.
They were black, and the officer is actually black. Sad to say. But he had a long history of this, and really there are a lot of my soldiers right now that really I come to know the officer because he's asking people in jail what they know about me, and I'm like, who the flocker is you? You know, who is this man asking people about me in jail? An officer at that. So I don't know if he was scoping me and saw he couldn't get me and went for somebody close to me. But either which way, it did not. I don't believe that the girl that he got caught about was 15 years old.
Wow.
And actually, when we got a hold to his ABI record, in the case when he was doing the loophole business. Actually, his first sexual assault filed against him, like the charges filed against him, was for a girl that was 14.
Wow.
While he was an officer somewhere else. So, you know, even, and I will say this to any sisters who, even if it's not an officer, if it's just a regular man, and as a rape survivor myself, I can say, even if you're the only one and they say nothing will ever come of it, still put that in documentation, even if they
Colin,
try to put it under the rug. Pardon me?
Go ahead, Queen.
Oh, I'm saying,
ahead,
you know, even if you're the only one and they say, well, you're the first one, still get your documentation. And I even was swept under the rug numerous of times with my one case and had to do at least 7 reports over and over and over and over again for someone that they knew was doing this mess. So sometimes it is the officers that kind of support it because they do that mess. But just to get the documentation and don't take it can't be done for an answer. Black power.
Black power, Queen. Okay, we somehow have the sisters on the line. I kind of oozed them in. I don't know if they knew that they was online, but I kind of oozed them in because I did not want to interrupt you, Sister Lady Freedom, because you were speaking very powerful, and I didn't want to take that away from you, you know? Black Powers, we have the 323. Sister, talk to me.
Is that
Jan, talk
Jan,
to me.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. That is you.
Okay.
Talk to me. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing, what your program and what you're doing in your organization.
All righty. So the organization that I am a part of is called Black Women for Wellness. And you can find us on the internet at www.bwwla.com. That's Black Women Well, Los Angeles.com. You can also find us at bwwla.org, and that's more of a blog where you get an opportunity to post your articles and your stories and your information. We also have a Facebook page, and it's Black Women for Wellness on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, and we also have a MySpace, too. And it's www.myspace.com/BWWLA. So that's where you can find us online, and I'll tell you a little bit about what we do. We are a health education and advocacy organization, and we are based in Los Angeles. But lately we've been talking to sisters on a national level about this attack on black women. It seems to be a vicious, racist, sexist attack on black women. And we're starting to have national conversations and compare notes. Just like I was listening to that sister, you know, when I dialed in, and she's talking about what's going on. Is it in Selma? Alabama,
yes,
that she was talking about? Yeah, and, you know, sisters in Selma got to talk to sisters in L.A., got to talk to sisters in New York and in Oakland and in Atlanta and compare notes. Because when we don't, then we get isolated and we think it's only us or only in our town. But it's a coordinated attack against black women that we're dealing with. Black Women for Wellness has several programs, and I'll run down a very quick list of those programs. One program is called Internet Quilt, and that program is about bringing our community up to speed with technology. It's making sure that we know how to do blog radio, that we know how to podcast, that we know our software and our hardware, and that we can communicate with each other, that we can Skype in or create a webinar or even create a simple Word document because we need to, and that's Internet Quilt. We have another program called Keep in Touch, and Keep in Touch is about being a well woman. So we teach what we call peer educators or health motivators to talk to other women one-on-one or in small group settings about how to get a well woman exam, what to expect from one, what type of questions to ask, and how to do a breast self-exam. So that's our Keep in Touch program. We also have another program called Sisters in Motion. Sisters in Motion is our physical fitness and nutrition program. So on one hand, we ask people to walk 1 mile every day, just 1 mile a day. And that gets you into the mode of, well, wait a minute, physical fitness, I can do this. Because generally speaking, when women start out walking 1 mile a day, it might take them 20 minutes. But by the time they get to day 21, they done cut a few minutes off and they're feeling the difference. By the time they get to day 100, they like, what are we going to do now? Are we going to do salsa? Are we going to do merengue? Are we going to do Tai Chi? Are we going to do karate? Something different or something. They're ready to up their physical fitness game. The other part is called Kitchen Divas. And Kitchen Divas is an interactive food preparation and cooking class. One of the things we found out is that sisters didn't get all the information that we needed to on food preparation and how to maintain the nutrients and vitamins in our food. We have one class called the Green Class. And in that class, we ask women, so how you fix your greens? And we get all kind of answers from, you know, put them in a pot with a ham hock and boil them for 100 hours to fry them. So what we do is we talk about, you know, how do you stir fry or steam or eat raw your greens so you can get the most out of the food that you are eating. And that's the Kitchen Divas program. And we go through that old adage, you are what you eat, so you want to eat really well so you'll be a really healthy and well woman. The next program I want to tell you about is called Sisters at 8. Sisters at 8 was our community mobilizing or community organizing program. What we found when we were going to a lot of different meetings and representing for black women is that we would be the only one, or it'd be one lone, you know, African-American person there who didn't have any backup or didn't have someone else to meet with to talk about the conditions of the black community or the challenge of the black community or from the perspective of the black community. So that's what we did. We created a space for us to talk about our issues from our perspective and come up with solutions to what we saw going on in our community, and that's called Sisters at 8. And then the next program, and I think the last program I want to tell you about, is called Sisters in Control. Sisters in Control is not about controlling nobody else, but it's about you. Do you have control over what you're doing and how you're doing it? It is our reproductive justice program. So what we do with that program, we do the education in terms of making sure that our community, particularly our foster youth, have comprehensive sexuality education. Then we also do advocacy, try to streamline healthcare services for women when they need them. So they won't have you running here for this and running there for that, but you'll have a place where if you need family planning, birth control, screenings, pap tests, anything like that, where you can go to one place, get it done, and not have to worry about a whole bunch of other stuff or appointments or childcare or transportation issues, that type of thing. The next thing that we do under the Sisters in Control program is we are looking at the intersection of environmental justice and reproductive justice. So a lot of black women use hair care products that are very toxic, those relaxers and dyes and, you know, perms that are really tims and stuff like that. We also use, in addition to the hair, personal care products. And personal care products have a lot of ingredients in them that we are just not hip to that are causing cancer and increasing our risk for disease and illness. And then the third thing that we use are pesticides. And sometimes we don't even use pesticides, but the food that we buy has been sprayed with pesticides that cause or increase our risk for cancer. So we're looking at how do the chemicals that we use impact our fertility, impact our birth in terms of our babies and how much they weigh when they're born, what do they have a predisposition for. There's a growing trend of asthma in the black community. Well, what is that about? Where is that coming from? A lot of that has to do with the pesticides that are in our food. And we intersect that, like I said, with reproductive justice, with reproductive health issues. So those are some of the things that we do with Black Women for Wellness. Currently, we are beginning a campaign that actually kind of marched across the country. There was a foundation called the Radiance Foundation that put up big billboards in Atlanta, Georgia, that said Black children are endangered species. From Atlanta, they went to Illinois, Chicago, they went to Florida, and they went to Wisconsin. Well, our children are not animals, and they should not be compared to animals. And we wanted to know, what is the ulterior motive behind this? And we think Black children are beautiful, and we want to respect and protect Black women. We want to trust Black women to raise our children and love our children. So that's what we're looking at. Why is this campaign in our community, and what is the ulterior motive behind it? So that's some of the stuff that we do at Black Women for Wellness in Los Angeles.
Well, sister, you've gone over a lot. I'm glad we have both of you all on the show. But, yeah, you've gone over a lot of programs that would definitely be effective in our community, and I commend the both of you all. However, I'm going to move on to the next guest. We're going to move on to my sister from STL, who teaches yoga, and she does other things, and she has a nonprofit as well. So I'm trying to get everybody to get in and do their spiel, and then we're going to start rounding off these questions. Because we want people to learn more from you, sis, because y'all are very intelligent, Black Power. Hey, sis, come on, talk to me.
Hey, sis, how you doing?
Yes, ma'am. Blessings. I'm fine. Blessings.
Black Power.
Black Power. So tell us more about you, Queen. Tell us about what you're doing with your nonprofit and just different things that you're doing. We want to hear.
Great. Well, first, I just want to say greetings and blessings to you, Queen, and for having this show this evening, just to empower us women and just to enlighten us on a lot of different topics and a lot of things about who we are. And I also want to just send some praises to the other two women that are on here that just blew my mind. I was just sitting here thinking, and the program that the Queen just finished speaking about, I believe she said Women's Wellness Program, is very a nice, holistic, rounded perspective, because she touches every single thing that I'm into, because all of those things really affect us. So I'm going to talk a little bit about my not-for-profit organization that I have. The name of my company is True Ivy Creations, and it started back in 2007, and I've been into yoga for a long time, and yoga really helped me just to get more centered and find out who I was as a person, and so I just really wanted to share it with a lot of other women. And around that same time, I also got into herbs and aromatherapy, and everything that I do, it really just helped to transform me as an individual. I was a young teen mother, barely got out of school, just really kind of had a rough upbringing, and I always knew it was more to life than the doctor shoving you pills for depression and shoving you pills for birth control and everything. So the center of my business is just focusing on the youth and the women, and just really just getting them closer to their selves. So I offer free yoga classes within the community, and I teach the classes at the library. And so it's mostly a lot of sisters that come out, and, they come and they talk to me about different things that they're going through as far as cancer, diabetes, being overweight, hating themselves, all sorts of things. So from there, we branched off and we started holding a monthly sister circle. And so we come together once a month and we'll do different things. Like coming up in February, we're going to do like a herbal tea party where we're going to just try different herbal teas, and we're going to use some things from the kitchen, like avocados and coconut milk and different things that we use every day, like honey, and just explore using it on our face and using it on our body. But just coming together as women and exploring natural things that we can use on our bodies and on our hair versus going out and using the chemicals and things like the Queen was just speaking about that is really affecting us as women. And so that's what I'm doing that kind of branched off from the yoga classes. And I also volunteer at the library to help our youth, to help our teenagers, just to kind of get in contact with who they are, just kind of uplift them and just be there with them and help them through a lot of different things. So I'm just kind of all over the place, it's just really about empowering our Black community. And one thing that I wanted to speak on that the Queen was talking about as well was cancer. There's a lot of women, a lot of our Black women that are facing breast cancer and all types of cancer at an early age, like in their 30s and things. And we're not aware that every day, you know, when we use these certain products like deodorant, that's one of the main things that we use every day that has aluminum in it. And if a lot of us shave and we're putting this deodorant on right underneath our arm and it's going straight through our pores when we sweat, it's going directly, you know, to our breast, you know. And so it's just like in this circle, I just try to speak on different things that we're not aware of or that we're not conscious about just so that we can kind of take control of our health and realize, like the Queen said, that we are what we eat. And everything that we put in our body, it can either heal our bodies or help us, or it could, you know, harm us. Our food is like really our medicine. So I'm just a community organization, and I'm just kind of just do things here and there. I just did a local TV show where I just did a nice yoga meditation session for stress. And it's just going to air on one of the local channels, but just to reach the Black women in the community that maybe don't know about different things that they can use to help get in contact with their cells and to release stress in a natural way besides yelling at your kids, you know what I'm saying, or going to smoke or drink, you know. So just different ways to, you know, help get in contact with yourself. So, yeah.
Wow, that's powerful, yeah. Too. I don't even know what to say.
It's a lot. I know it's a lot because, you know, I really didn't have anything wrote down because I really am all over the place because I do so many different things in the community with, like, greening and even trying to build a community garden over here by where we live at, just to kind of keep the youth, you know, focused on taking care of the earth and, you know, realizing that, you know, this is where we live and we shouldn't, you know, litter and pollute. So, you know, I took a whole bunch of teenagers this past summer and we went out and cleaned by the river and cleaned by the parks and stuff. But I'm just really community focused and focused on our women because I feel like our women, we, you know, really uphold the family and we're the creators and we're very powerful women. But over time, you know, we've allowed ourselves just to kind of be belittled within society. And I just really want to bring that back up again, you know what I'm saying, so that we learn to respect ourselves and love ourselves for each and every part of us, you know. Yeah.
Yes, well, that's definitely really, really, really powerful. But on a few terms, I have a couple of questions, and I guess our listening audience and chat room definitely is blazing. They have a few things that they want to know. To you, Sister Lady Freedom, they want to know, how did you overcome being raped? That's kind of personal, but how did you deal with it? How did you deal with it? Yes, you stated something about filling out paperwork and you constantly went through that, but how did you deal with it on a mental level? How did it, you know?
Well, once I came to the realization that I needed to deal with it, that was the first thing, because it was some time that I was dealing with it the wrong way, but once I finally realized what I needed to deal with, it took actually just dealing with it, you know, and allowing it to hurt, you know, because when you are, you know, sometimes, well, I can't speak for nobody but me, but having considered myself a strong woman to have gone through that, you know, I couldn't even see the strength in myself at that time. And it took time. And it does, it takes time. And in order to overcome it, I've had to use the word of my testimony. You know, there has been times that I had to say that I overcame from it when, at that time, I still wanted to go, you know, pop off on him. But, you know, just to deal with it, and even still haven't had a conversation today with my mother, like, you know, we never really talk about that. You know, so, and it wasn't even a conversation, that was the extent of it. You know, Mom, you know, we never really talk about that. You know, think about how many times we really talk about it. But just being, having people that were there for me to talk about it and really just being real about it, we actually did a play where several women used their stories. We used our stories to do a stage play, which was called The Healing Song. And there were some other fictional stories in it. But, you know, even just keep at it, you know, and to even find the strength from helping others, you know, and helping other sisters who come up with that challenge in their lives, you know.
Okay. Well, we really appreciate you sharing that with us, because that's not an easy thing to talk about, an easy situation, and we commend you that you are a survivor of that.
You know, I give God credit, because I give God, Jah is so beautiful, because, you know, I've actually, you know, and it's been even almost over 8 years, I guess, and just even being able to talk about it with my listeners on my show, you know, and people just see me on the street and just tell me, you know, I didn't ever want to really think about what happened to me until you said something, you know, and just to hear you. So I think it really takes speaking about it, you know, and not allowing it to hit you on the inside, but just to speak your victory over it. And, you know, just reaching out, because you, whenever you feel it, sometimes it's those who are around you that need to talk about it as well. So just to even trust your intuition and just allow, you know, it, God is the best of planners as far as that is concerned, and it's a process. It is a process.
Okay. All right. I have a question for you, Sister Jan. They shot me something in the chat rooms. They want to know they have a twofold question. Where are you located?
That's easy. We're in Los Angeles in Leimert Park.
Okay. And they want to know, do you travel with this information? Do you travel with your organization? And do you go around and promote, you know what I mean? Can you start it in other places? Can you help other people to start what you're doing there in other cities?
Okay. So the answer to that is we really are a local organization. I have been invited to speak in different places and went and was able to, you know, share some information. When people say, ooh, I want to start a Black Women for Wellness in wherever it is that I live, I encourage people to do that. We're not, you know, consultants that travel around and help you set up a nonprofit and stuff like that, but I think, you know, sometimes a simple sister social or a reading group, or even like the sister said, get together to do a yoga class at the library is a great place to start, you know, your Black Women for Wellness group.
Okay, and they had another question. It says, mm-hmm. What made you start your organization?
There were six of us who started the organization, and it was one of those things where, you know, six friends, we were sitting around talking about the stuff that we were doing, and between the six of us, we were mentoring like 23 women, mm-hmm. and our families were like, you know, y'all need to start an organization and stop using all the family resources with what y'all doing. So we said, okay, let's start an organization. So we decided, you know, with the women, those six founding women, we just, and that's how come we do so many different programs, because we all brought our stuff to the table. And that's how we started the organization.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
Go ahead. Sister, they're asking you the same question. They said at both of you all, at all of you all, I'm saying all three of you all. Where are you located? We know STL, but is it just a local organization? Yours is local as well, correct?
True, you talking to me?
Yes, ma'am, Sister True.
Yes, mine is local for now. Yes, it is, with the yoga classes. We're just, for right now, I'm at the St. Louis County Library, yeah.
Do you travel? Are you willing to travel, though?
Yes, I'm definitely willing to travel. I am actually going to be traveling over the summer. I'm going to be going to Texas and Atlanta. So if there's anything, you know, or anyone that ever wants me to come, you know, and teach yoga classes or to even talk about herbs, I am a studying herbalist, and I've been working with herbs and aromatherapy for a while just to, you know, help people with certain maybe health problems or even for spiritual reasons. You know, I'm more than willing to come out. And I am a single mother. I am currently homeschooling my children, which is really good, you know, so I'm more flexible and able to travel if I need to.
Okay, that sounds good. Sister Lady Freedom, what about you? They're asking the same question. I know you said you was located in Selma, so they already know that. But on the terms of how did you start your blog talk and how did you get started with and then do you travel? Lady Freedom. Okay. Well, I'm going to move on to the next question. She'll come back in a minute, hopefully. At any rate, people want to know, listeners really, really want to know, what are your future goals for your nonprofit and just your organizing in general? Anyone. Well, I guess we can go in order because we don't want to get confused. So I guess we can start with, is Lady Freedom back on? Okay, Sister True, back at you then.
Okay, my goals mostly for my organization is just to reach women and particularly outstretch it to the families and the youth, not just focusing all on the women, but I want to reach women all over the St. Louis area as much as I can, maybe dedicating my time to the different areas in St. Louis until I feel like we've brought enough women together or at least reached enough women, and also just to link up with other women in the St. Louis area that are, you know, really about empowering us and enlightening us. So to just pull together a nice circle of women that, the queen, I believe you're in Los Angeles, was saying it was six of them that came to the table with different ideas, and they were able to reach more women in that way. So my goal is really just to definitely link up with some other women and just start going to different communities, going to different businesses, or even setting up at the different libraries, because I think the library is a really good resource because it's free, and you can reach a lot of different women because the libraries are in all of the communities around this area, and just really start to speak about health, start to speak about ourselves, because as women, we're superwoman a lot of times, and we try to do everything, and then ourselves, we come last, and then we're, you know, we ran down on the inside. We may be looking good on the outside, but on the inside, you know, it's no good. So really just to branch out and reach more people and reach the children and also our men in the community. We don't want to forget about our men as well. So over time, that's what I would like to do.
Sounds good. What about you, Sister Jan?
Well, we have, you know, this thing called an organizational mission, and it is creating a multi-generational approach to enhance the health and well-being of Black women, our children, and our community. So that's our overarching goal. And we said multi-generational because we really want to put in there some leadership development and make sure that we share skills and resources with the generation that's coming behind us and the one that's behind them. We want to think in a multi-generational way. So that's the goal, just in terms of to create this whole cadre, a whole community of healthy Black women. And I say that because one of the things that I say is that, you know, we can't have warriors who have to pause to take high blood pressure pills. We can't have warriors who have, who have a heart attack on the front line, that type of thing. So we're talking about that, the physical health. And then we talk about spiritual, emotional, financial, and mental health, too. And how do, is our belief that if we strengthen and make healthy Black women will take care of our community. We'll take care of our children. We'll take care of our men. We'll take care of our elders, because that's what we do anyway.
That's true. Okay, I think we got Lady Freedom back on the line, Queen. You were asked in the chat room, do you travel and how did you start your organization?
Okay, well, I work among a lot of different organizations. My organization is actually in the process right now, but I network among various different organizations. And I think I heard you ask about the blog talk. I actually don't even use my blog talk. I'm an actual old school across the airwaves radio person with a Black owned station, private owned station here in Selma, Alabama, which is actually owned by some Black attorneys. So we now stream worldwide.
Wow.
So not only can you hear it, you can see it. And all the Alabama stations now are trying to copy us, you know, because we fall like that. But the website is WBFZ FM Radio.com, and it's a very unique station. A lot of different programs that come on. You can get some everything from a fire talk show in the morning to some old school gospel and blues and hip hop. Get some world music in the evening time on Tuesday, Thursday. I mean, it's a great mix and great talk, and really it's the way for us to get our news to the people, because the news media here is so slanted. So when we say are the news, like truly, if we don't report that there's a rapist on the police force, it doesn't get told unless we get the picket signs out and picket the newspaper. But we just skip all that and we do it on the station. But I am willing to travel, I love to do that, because it took me traveling to get home to St. Louis, which St. Louis is home to me, even though I'm here in Selma, to get home to St. Louis, travel home to St. Louis to find out about the different lynchings and hangings and things that are going on up there. So I'm just an organization networker person until I get my stuff straight. I'm enjoying this, you know, because, you know, to see the queens working together and getting the organizations, they're beautiful. You know, I wish I was back home to get to come to the herbal tea party, and, you know, that's beautiful, and I'm loving what's going on out there in L.A., and I want to invite everyone to consider, if you haven't made a pilgrimage to Selma, to the bridge, to come. The first full weekend of March is when we commemorate Bloody Sunday and the march from Selma to Montgomery. And there's information for that at www.selmajubilee.org.
They had another question. You're not done, Queen. They had another question. They wanted to know how would you tell a sister that is stressed out and health is not doing too well. She has diabetes. And this is for everybody. And we can go in order. I guess, Sister Lady Freedom, you could stress on that because I know that you and I have had personal conversations in, on the terms of dealing with different health aspects of it.
So she's stressed out and she's dealing with diabetes. I'm going to halfway defer to the other sister, but I will say for the diabetes that cinnamon is good for naturally helping to level out your blood sugar. I want to almost tell you to stop taking the pork insulin because they tell you not to eat the pork. But they give you pork-based insulin, so you might want to. I won't say stop taking it, but seriously, you can. Well, you need to definitely read what you're taking, and talk to a natural doctor about that. Consult with a natural doctor. That's what I'll say.
Okay,
another person, the sister that really does that. Yes.
that's still helpful, though. That's still helpful, sister.
Thank you.
Sister True?
Yes. All right.
Go ahead.
She was right about the cinnamon, because cinnamon helps to triple, you know, the insulin, I guess, so it'll really help to level out your blood sugar. And a couple of just normal things around the house that you could kind of just eat or, you know, eat with your salad, you know, eating a whole salad every day. Is really important is just using onions and garlic within your food. And dandelion root is a really good herb, and it's considered a weed, but it's a really good herb that really helps to purify your blood and your liver, and it helps with inflammation and a lot of different problems. It really helps to regulate your body as well. So that's a very cheap, affordable herb that could be found at a local herb store and even online. I don't trust a lot of the online stores, but if you can find a safe place within, you know, your community or your area to buy herbs, I would definitely look into dandelion root. And also ginkgo biloba, that's another type of a Chinese herb that can really help with diabetes. But what's most important is your diet, you know, what you're putting into your diet, you know, not eating high-fat foods or, you know, foods that are really high in sugar. Because, I mean, the natural sugar, when it's in the cane, it's okay for you, it's healthy, it doesn't irritate your nerves or cause inflammation within your body. But once it's extracted from, you know, the cane, and, you know, it's filtered and put through all of this stuff, you know what I'm saying, that's when it starts to irritate your body. And I know it's kind of hard to kind of get away from ways that we've been eating, you know, all of our lives, but if you're slowly able to add fresh organic, you know, fruits and vegetables here and there, and definitely cut back on fried foods or high greasy, sugary foods, you know, and definitely increase the intake of water, you know, that would really help. And like she said, I mean, I know a lot about herbs, but it is very important to try to seek a natural or a holistic doctor. There's more and more doctors that are beginning to take, you know, insurance, and they aren't that expensive, and they will work with you because it also depends on if you're on any other type of medicines, you know, and exercising, you know, is very important. So choose whatever works best for you, you know, walking or, you know, running, whatever you like, but incorporating, you know, just having a healthy lifestyle, getting enough rest. So, it's going to definitely be like a lifestyle change if you want to stop taking the medicine and then eventually heal yourself. But I think food is something that you can use to heal this so that you don't have to continue to take medicine for diabetes, you know, for the rest of your life. Yeah. So I know I was speaking with a lady, an elder on Sunday about water, and she was telling me, you know, that on average we're recommended to drink between 5 to 8 glasses of water a day. But if you're dealing with a long-term type of disease or ailment within your body and you're really trying to flush it out and make some changes and say it's a little bit too hard for you to switch to a vegetarian, vegan, or a raw diet, what's important is to try to start drinking like an ounce per pound. And I know that's a lot, but an ounce per how much you weigh, and drinking that, you know, like every day. So I started trying to drink at least a gallon or more of water a day. And so you don't look at it like, you know, oh, 8 glasses, I got to pick up 8 glasses and drink it. You know, just try to get a jug of water, a gallon of water, and just try to sip on that, you know, like throughout the day. And then eventually you may be able to do that. But water really can flush out things in our body and balance things out within us. It really can help. So, but, yeah, that's kind of my input on it.
That's powerful as well. Sis, come on, break it down to us.
I think I'm going to come from a different perspective on this.
Go ahead. You can.
And this is Jan. And I'm going to break it up into two parts. Number one, diabetes is not a joke. And I have seen far too many people go out of here for something simple because diabetes complicated it. They get a cold, and next thing you know, they're dead. Type of thing. So the first thing is that if someone knows that they have diabetes, that means they've been diagnosed with it by some Western medicine doc, then to take it seriously, because it's not a joke. The second thing that I would add to that is that I think it's a good thing to blend Western and traditional medicine, but I think they need to know about each other. So if you're seeing a naturalist or herbalist or an acupuncturist, which I think is real important, they need to know about your Western doc, and your Western doc needs to know about them so they can work together and won't be contraindication or canceling each other out. The next thing I want to say with that is that a lot of people think that if you read a book about herbs and you got it and you can make it happen for yourself. But generally, people who are herbalists or naturopaths or even acupuncturists have trained and studied and went to school and got the disease and know how to read your body and what your chi is. And you reading a book is not that. So I would not suggest that somebody say, oh, I'm going to read this book and I can take this herb and deal with my diabetes, because diabetes is a whole lot more serious than that. And a lot of folks in the Black community seem to think that we can self-diagnose and self-prescribe and get away with it, when we really need to work with the experts and professionals in our community. So I'll say that just because I think that is important. Now, this stress thing, just in terms of stress, is, you know, a killer too. So, and stress changes up your whole body chemistry. So it could be that you might be taking something, but because you're stressed, your metabolism has changed and is not making a difference. So there are a lot of things that you could do to begin to alleviate the stress. Like, you can, like, get rid of the people who are causing you stress and find some more people to hang out with and be friends. And that kind of, like, leads me to a little sidebar in that diet, not even diet, nutrition is real important to folks on who have diabetes. Yeah, I'm going back to you are what you eat and, you know, eating fresh, healthy foods, drinking plenty of fluids, all of that stuff is real important. But if you're the only person doing it in your family or your circle of friends, it's a setup for failure. So if you have a diagnosis that's a chronic illness like diabetes and you know you have to change your lifestyle and your nutrition, then get some people who are going to do it with you so they can be your support system and you all can reinforce these changes and lifestyles and good eating and complement and, you know, build the strength to do that, as opposed to, you know, surrounding yourself with people who be like, well, I'm having some peach cobbler, sorry, you can't, type of thing. You don't need that in your life, because then that's going to add
stress, which is going to add to your illness. Yoga, meditation, long walks, exercise, all of that is good to alleviate stress and also help you create a weight that you want to maintain and that is healthy for you. Because, you know, that's part of it, too, in terms of what your weight is, if it's good for you, what your, you know, your body mass index or how fat you are. And there are some people who look thin but have a lot of fat or have a body mass index. So it's really finding that ideal weight for yourself and a way to maintain it with exercise, too. So that's what I would say, because I would really, really not want to prescribe over, you know, the internet what you should do about your diabetes, because it is really serious. I have seen too many people taken out of this world, off this plane, behind diabetes and something simple.
Absolutely. Okay. All those are very good advice. Well, they also asked, I guess, a similar question. What are some exercises that will help overcome obesity?
My input on that, I would definitely say if it's what your personal preference is, you know, what excites you, because if you're really trying to overcome obesity and trying to get to a healthy weight, you would have to do something that you, you know, something that's enjoyable for you. So, you know, if you go and join the gym but you don't like to, you know, lift weights and things like that, you know, then chances are you may go for a week or two and stop. But I really am on board with what the sister was just saying as far as finding a support group, you know, and also whatever spiritual or religious path that you have is very important, you know, that you kind of, you know, get in contact with that so that you can, you know, just, I guess, have some type of goal and you can, you know, just have some type of prayer and affirmations, because that's what really helps you through, and also just to have some friends or family members that can maybe go out and exercise with you. But yoga is very excellent. I like yoga because not only does it help to balance you and harmonize you through your body, mind, and spirit, it also helps to tone your body and also tone your skeletal and your muscular system. And it doesn't happen fast enough for people that may get into yoga just for weight, but it does help to build self-confidence and self-love, and it builds positivity, and it allows you to begin looking at yourself in a new light, and you start to love yourself for how you are, and then it's easier for you to make those adjustments, you know, and maybe start doing some different, more exercises that will help you, you know, walking or, you know, jogging with your friends or whatever. And once you start to love yourself more, you know, then the way that you eat and the things that you put in your body and the things that you listen to and watch and the people you hang around, it's like through yoga, it really starts to change, like, your whole life. Everything begins to become more positive. So just from being a yoga teacher and have been practicing yoga, and yoga has turned my life around, I like that. I think it's a nice start, but everybody, you know, may not like yoga. Yoga may be too slow for them, but you would definitely maybe want to sit down in meditation one day or do some prayer or some affirmations to seek, you know, what you really, really like to do and, you know, something that you can get into and stick with, yeah.
Okay, Sister Lady Freedom, you got any input on that, or?
I was sitting here. I was thinking about one of the questions that you that was posed to me earlier about how I was able to overcome the rate that I experienced, and really what it really took was somebody to tell me that I had to forgive. You know, which was difficult for me because I was like, there's not a jury in the world will find me guilty if I did, you know, something to him. at that time. But really, truly, it took getting centered, you know, and meditating. You know, those are wonderful things. But really, even just being able to get to the point to be able to forgive. Because when we don't forgive, God doesn't even hear our prayers. So we can be praying to overcome what we got going on with that thing, but if you have not let it go, and really I was so, it had me so to where I had physical pain, like even in my back and that thing. But once I forgave, it was like just a breath of fresh air, truly. It's like I didn't have the same physical reaction that I used to have. So it really, I had to give that in before the show left because I couldn't leave that unsaid.
Okay. I think we have a call on the air. We have 214-672. Caller, Black Power, you're on Black Power Radio.
Yeah, Black Power, Queen.
Black Power.
Peace, greetings, honor, and salutation from our 24 elders in the East and 4 total Eastern Asiatic Black men some 25,000 years in the past. Sister National, sister, indeed a blessing as well as a privilege, and I know that your sister's supposed to be here for the show, but I promise not to be long, but I promise to be strong. But the way that you start this format tonight, I have to say all praises that are due to Allah. And I know our national leader, Dr. Trayvon Zulu Shabazz, will be most appreciative of your work that you're doing as our national assistant. You are indeed a sister of our sister, so a Black Power salute to you. Zulu, all praise is due to Allah. Sisters that you have on today, those sisters' information are most definitely needed. Maybe we need to get those sisters on the deep end because they can kind of get these brothers off that couch as they see the couch potato. And sisters, as you know, I just have to say this. About 5 years ago, before I went to Africa, I suffered from diabetes and hypertension. They were causing some psychological problems for me. But while there in West Africa, in Ghana, I took homeopathic medicines, and there's no diabetes, no blood pressure problems. And as you can see, I'm 55, alive and kicking, and being your Black Power Supreme Captain, new Black Power supported, it's on. So if the brothers would get a chance to kind of get to these sisters and get this information to them, maybe we can get those brothers off the couches and get them out there in the field. And those sisters that are working with the media, you have three most exquisite sisters on your panel tonight. It'll be real a blessing to get these sisters to address the brothers when they're back online and listening to your broadcast again. So again, I say to you, all praise is due to Allah, because it's indeed a blessing as well as a miracle to have your form set up in such a way that it can get out that pertinent information to our people. Black Power, Queen.
Black Power. Thank you, brother. Okay, well, that was powerful. But I don't even know what to say after that.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, it was. Y'all really have really just made me to begin to really think more so about, you know, really wanting to educate our people more on this health issue, because we are really, really suffering. And even like with the whole pesticide thing and getting into our foods and our foods. So we really need to, what do y'all think about that? What do y'all think the best alternative, you know, in telling the people in terms of, you know, eating all these different, even eating stuff in the grocery stores on the terms of all these pesticides and things? Okay. Yeah, that's right. I forgot it's a multiple. So let me go in order. Lady Freedom, what is your suggestion?
To definitely look into gardening for yourself. It doesn't require acres and acres of land. You know, just look even into square foot gardening just to start somewhere small. And I'm going to defer on that one too as well, but just definitely looking to growing your own food, because it's coming that time. It's been that time, actually.
Okay, Lady True, Sister True, what's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that is I know that it seems that it's more expensive to shop healthier, you know, or to even purchase organic foods. But like Lady Freedom was saying, if you do, you know, have just a little bit of space in your backyard, you know, just trying to start growing a little bit of something for yourself. And if you're unable to do that, there's a lot of cities that have local co-ops where, you know, there's local farmers and things, you know, that come. And it's very affordable for you to get your produce and your fresh vegetables. And a lot of the local farmers can't afford to pay for, like, certified organic, you know, certification, but a lot of them don't use pesticides. So joining a local co-op is great. There's a lot of farmers markets that are in some of these areas, and some of them do sell pesticide, you know, fruits and vegetables, but just kind of getting to know the people in the community at the farmers market so that you can purchase things that weren't grown with that. And then you have some, like, some of the major supermarkets now, like Snooks and Shop and Save, they now are starting to have a little corner that's designated for organic produce and things. So it's kind of important now to start incorporating organic fruits and vegetables or whatever into our diet, and also processed foods, you know, because processed foods are like, you know, they're dead and they're practically dead, and they have like a lot of different chemicals and pesticides. And that harm our body when we use. They might not harm us right away, but you know, overuses, you know, every day or throughout the week, you know, it builds up within our body, and that's when it begins to cause problems. And a lot of our fruits and vegetables that we buy from the supermarket that aren't organic, we think that we're eating a green pepper or a tomato, but a lot of them are genetically modified, you know, and they're putting all sorts of things in there, and it may look like a tomato, but you're really not getting any of the nutrients in it. So I think it's just maybe doing a little bit of research online or going to the local community center, finding out about farmers markets, co-ops, or trying to find a local grocery store or something. And maybe, you know, you may have to pay a little bit more, but, you know, this is our health that we're talking about. Our health is really our wealth. If we don't, you know, put ourselves first and try to eat, you know, healthy, then we're really going to pay for it down the line through pills and doctor visits and, you know, and just a lot of different things. So kind of making it a family thing as well, you know, because like the other queen was saying, it's kind of hard to try to eat healthy if you got maybe your husband in the house, you know, or whoever you may be living with that still wants to eat fried food or you don't care about organic food. So just trying to maybe do a little research on how you can incorporate it into your life a little bit easier. But I would definitely say organic things, yeah.
Come on, Queen. Come talk to me, Sister Jan. What's your thoughts on that?
I agree with what the other two sisters said, that on the individual level, that we could be more conscious about what we're eating. Are we eating organic? I love the farmer's market. I think it's just, you know, the best thing going on. It's what I do every Sunday. Go to the farmer's market and have conversations with those farmers, because they'll tell you what's in the food and what's not in the food, regardless of how it, you know, has to be labeled. So so having those on that individual level, the farmer's markets, the food co-ops, the gardening are all things that we could do. But I also think that we need to hold our government accountable for what we're eating. So, you know, because there are some things that they can regulate that they don't. And there are some things or some, they have a couple of bills now, Toxic Substance Control Act, that they're working through the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, that really looks at controlling the amount of pesticides that corporations are allowed to use. And we need to have some controls at that level also. We need not to think it's all about our individual responsibility and accountability, but the corporations who grow food,
who sell pesticides has some accountability too, and we need to hold them accountable. And how we do that is we talk to our elected officials to say, are you holding those corporations responsible? Are you letting them poison us? Are you making rules so they can't poison us? And then we hold our government responsible too. We tell them, you know what? We want pesticide-free children. So what are you doing to make sure that they don't put pesticides in our food? How are you regulating these corporations and other entities that control our food? Because we can't do it all ourselves at the individual level. We have people that we put in office. We have a government in terms of this country that we live in that we need to hold a lot more accountable than we have. So they get away scot-free. We ain't even talking to them about pesticides. But I bet, you know, Monsanto is.
Sure.
We ain't talking to them about seeds, too. So we need to talk to them also. We need to realize that, you know, it's not all about what we can do at the individual level, but hold the society that we live in accountable for the stuff that's in our water systems, that's in our food systems, et cetera. I think we need to take a bigger interest in that.
Okay. And we're winding down in time. We got 10 minutes left. I guess there's one person has one more question. They want to know, does any of your sisters have any recommendations for holistic doctors that you know are certified, that are really good, that you've heard about or dealt with yourself personally?
If he's in Los Angeles, there's, or she, there's a place called the Village Health Foundation. It's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And they're online too, Village Health Foundation.
Okay. Anyone else?
Well, I'm in St. Louis, and I go to a holistic doctor by the name of Dr. Rosen Kincaid. And she's a family doctor, and I really like her. She eats live, a live, healthy, vegan diet, and she's been eating this way for about 30 years now. And she's really, I believe, one of those doctors that actually walks the talk. You can, you know, tell that she takes care of herself, and she'll take as long as she needs with you in the doctor's office. She doesn't, you know, like, rush you off or anything, but that's only if you're in the St. Louis area. But and another doctor, she's in New York. I've studied, you know, with her. She's not my personal doctor because we're in two different states, but I know that people have heard a lot about Queen Afula. She is a very, very powerful woman, and she has two really good books. You know, that if you can't get to a local doctor that, you know, holistic, you know, at least you can read about, you know, how to find a good doctor, and also, you know, how to try to take care of yourself spiritually and mentally and physically as well until you can find a good holistic practitioner. And like the queen in L.A. said, you know, if you do still have a Western medical doctor, you know, and you still want to go the natural approach, you know, it's good to still have two doctors, but still to merge, you know, and let each other, let them know. But the two books that I really love by Queen Afua that really helps to transition a woman getting back to her normal, natural state of health is Sacred Woman and also Heal Thyself. And almost all of the libraries have this book. And if they don't have it, majority of the libraries in the United States have a program called the Interlibrary Loan Program where they will request it from another library in another state and you can get it. So those are definitely two books to look into buying or checking out, and they are very powerful, you know, if you're dedicated to trying to change your health and transition your life within time.
Yeah.
I also want to recommend a book. It's called African Holistic Health. That's also a great book to read.
Yeah.
That you really need to take advantage of. And Healing Foods is another book that is really great for and for those that you know want to try to do the vegetarian thing. Another book is called Vegetarian Times Cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead, Sister Lady Freedom. I just had to interject since we were talking about books.
Oh, I like that. I like that. The doctor that I could refer to actually be in Birmingham, Alabama. I was having to travel to Birmingham. Y'all got somebody in your city, so that's why I miss the big city. But and his name is Dr. Aten, which is A-T-E-N, and he is natural and holistic doctor certified. And actually, he taught me a lot about parasites, which was very interesting to me. We learned about it, but we didn't know. Oof, I don't even want to think about that. But either way, but yeah, that was.
Sisters, I'm going to go ahead and sign off. This is Jan.
Yes,
it has been wonderful talking with you all.
Yes, it has.
We really appreciate
you.
We're going to utilize you again, so I will have your number on standby, Queen.
Thank you so much.
Peace.
I definitely want to invite all the queens always to the sister circle.
Go ahead, Queen. Black Power. Go ahead, Queen. Finish Lady Freedom. Okay. Anyway, you still on Lady Freedom? Okay, I think her phone is, she's having some severe issues. But any lasting words? Yeah, you're breaking up. Any lasting words for you? Because we got five more minutes.
I hope it got through before the sister got off the line. That I wanted to invite, all the queens to my show on the Sister Circle, which it airs on Fridays at 11 in the a.m. In this time zone in Alabama. I just enjoyed it. It's been truly blessed. It's been beautiful. It's been blessed to be here with y'all on this evening, for real.
Yes.
Let me drop your show real quick, sis, because you know we got Eastern folk also. So it'll be 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern time?
That's correct. 12 o'clock Eastern time on every Friday. And sometimes I co-host the public conversation. Good programming any noon day you can catch. Again, you can catch it online, www.wbfzfmradio.com, and you can pick it up, whatever's going on here in Selma, Alabama. You can get it, and you'll be amazed if you just catch a talk show in the daytime what is really going on in Selma, boy, Selma. Thank you.
Go ahead, sis. You got anything else to say?
I just wanted to thank you so much, Queen, for inviting me to be on this show. It was really a blessing. It was very enlightening for me because I learned a lot from all three of you sisters this evening. And just shout out to the women and even the men that may be listening to the show. And I just wish you all the blessings and health. And if you had any questions for me or if you are in a St. Louis area, you want to come to the yoga classes. I also have some different tips on yoga and health and spiritualism on my website. And that's www.trueiriecreations.com, and that's true, TRUIRIE creations with the S at the end, .com, and my email address is on there, and I just wish everybody the best health and wellness. Yeah.
Okay.
You there, Queen? Hello?
You can give me the website again, www.true, spell it, T-R-U, Irie Creations, you said?
Yeah, so it's T-R-U-I-R-I-E, C-R-E-A-T-I-O-N-S.com.
Right.
Thank you.
No problem. And I did get the, I got the Selma Montgomery web, but I didn't get the radio station or your sister circle information. Do you mind repeating that for me?
Okay. The radio station is, well, this is the website where you can actually catch the program and stream it live, which is www.wbfz. Which is WB, B as in boy, F as in Frank, Z as in zebra, WBFZFMradio.com.
Okay.
And if you want to catch me, if you wanted to contact me directly, you can contact me at MZ, M as in Mary, Z as in zebra, freedomfighter@gmail.com. And again, an open invitation to all the queens for the Sister Circle, because I could never have enough at the Sister Circle. which airs every Friday at 11 in the a.m., which is Central Time, 11 a.m.